Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is so exciting for us and for America. Adam Mockler, Gen Z superstar, is live in studio
with us. What's up, Stephanie? Thank you for having me.
Look at your little 23-year-old stem cell self. You are adorable.
Stem cell self.
You're a little stem cell.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I was first aware of you with Mike Nellis or just I saw you randomly on CNN, but I just shouted at the TV because you are amazing.
Thank you. That means a lot. Part of my strategy is going on there and bringing the assertiveness that liberals have been needing for a while.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I think for too long we've been playing by the rules of Republicans on these shows and in the media and even in politics. Like Donald Trump sets the rules. Mitch McConnell says F the rules.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, I'm not going to.
Well,
do
Mitch
that.
McConnell doesn't say anything.
Oh, yeah. He can't really speak right now. He just stares longingly because he can't actually speak.
Does he stare? Does he have eyes?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Throughout the past decade, Republicans have been taking us to new lows, breaking the rules. And then Democrats go on TV and they would give these like weak arguments like, well, I see both sides of it, but I'm going to let you speak now. No, go on there. Be assertive. Stick up for what you believe in. And don't let the Republicans just move on. When they lie.
Yeah. Well, Chris and I were saying, because you have a much younger, spongier brain, you somehow can retain all of these facts and figures and just shoot them out. Like, I can never, like, but you have all, just to refute them, like, point by point, because you seem to have all of these facts and figures at your command. And these right-wing douchebags like Scott Jennings, you just slice and dice them. And I keep saying to Chris, I'm like, keep being condescending to Gen Z like you are to Adam and see what it does to Gen Z turnout.
Yeah, you're definitely going to condescend Gen Z into not asking questions anymore. That's what Scott Jennings thinks he's going to do. That's what, like, Geraldo Rivera is someone that I went back and forth with. And he kept saying, go get some life experience, kid. Go get some experience and come back to me. And I remember saying to him on Piers Morgan, you have a whole life of experience and we're on the same panel like every single week. So what does that tell you?
Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I've done more or that I know more. I understand the limitations of my age. But Gen Z does deserve a voice at these tables to talk about the wars going on, talk about the economy, housing, Epstein files.
You have skin in the game.
It directly affects my generation. And also it increases the national debt, which again, directly affects my generation. We pay $1 trillion per year on the national debt. We're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah. Sam and I were talking about, was it J.D. Vance saying like, oh, you know, homes are much more affordable for young people now.
And by what indicator?
What?
You're like, what?
No. Like, if it is it opposite day? What do you mean more affordable? I don't get it. But part of the retaining all the information is just reps, doing it over and over. And you start to interact with all of the talking points. And like, I'm somebody that likes to do edibles at night, so I'm surprised my brain can retain all of the political information when at night I'm just usually.
Maybe that's
even,
the secret.
Even,
that might be the
even
edge.
More impressive. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's what's so impressive about you is not only, you know, you hold your ground with these people, but as you say, it's not like our generation's. Well, we've done such a great effing job. We fed this for 10 years. We elected Donald Trump twice. So, you know, to try to say, oh, you need life experience, it would be hard to do worse than Donald Trump is doing right now.
I mean, there's something to be said about people who have more experience and have been through these things. I do understand that, and I respect that. I'm rational. But at the same time, what Republicans do is not nuanced. They try to surgically exclude younger generations who are asking questions by wagging a finger in their face and saying, nope, you can't ask questions about this. Like, Scott Jennings would be like, what do you know about the Iran war, Adam? And the reality is, I know enough to know that he's lying, that he is sitting there lying in the same way he lied about Iraq, Afghanistan, the same way they said we were winning those wars in the early 2000s, then those wars turned into grinding counterinsurgencies for decades. Afghanistan lasted 20 years, cost us trillions of dollars. I know enough to see that happening again, that we're in another war that is going to turn into a grinding counterinsurgency where the IRGC is fighting back and it's going to cost us money. And I can call that out. And the thing is, Scott Jennings and some of these older people, not just him, they're so rigid in their way of thinking.
Adam, I look at the Texas race, and as you know, Tallarico is up. But, you know, when they did by age, people above 50 are for this crook, Ken Paxton, who's been impeached by his own party, who let a pedophile get off. Like, you're just like, you couldn't think of a worse candidate. And people above 50 Right? If only, and that's why they're doing everything they can to suppress the young vote. I keep hearing they're taking polling stations out of colleges, so kids have to walk 45 minutes to get to a polling
station. They're gerrymandering college campuses.
Yes.
That's right.
If I were to write a political script for like a movie and I wrote Ken Paxton into it, people would think it's too comically villainous.
Yeah.
What
Ken
Paxton has done, impeached by his own party, as you said, corruption scandal after corruption scandal, his wife divorced him on biblical grounds. Now Republicans are trying to disenfranchise young people through the mail-in ballot executive order and through something called the Save America Act, which will it basically makes it way harder to do automatic voter registration at the DMV. You go there to get your license or an ID. Oftentimes people register at the same time. They're now adding a bunch of new barriers. Oh, you need your passport, your birth certificate. Yeah. You need something.
You can't use a student ID. You can use a gun license, but you can't. I mean, we're getting reports out of Texas, people getting knocked off the rolls. So we keep saying check and recheck your registration. You may have to re-register.
They are surgically targeting voters. And as you were saying, they're gerrymandering college campuses along with states.
So it depends on where you live on the college campus, where you go to vote. I mean,
because they know the younger generation is like Adam. They're smart and they're paying attention and they're going to vote Democratic.
Yeah.
And it's so, you know, Texas, I've often said, Adam, it's not a red state. It's a voter suppression state.
That is very, very true. I think if you have a candidate like James Tallarico who can activate the vote across from a uniquely weak candidate like Ken Paxton, this guy is uniquely weak in his campaign. There is something to be done here. There is something to have. I do think there's a good shot for Tallarico.
It's funny you use that word. I said that. I think they have uniquely horrible candidates this cycle. And I think we have some uniquely amazing ones.
Darlene Graham.
Oh, my Lord.
Can I just say something? I know it's one poll. New South Carolina Senate race poll, Dr. Annie Andrews, 44%, Darlene Graham, 39%.
She said national security isn't really my thing.
Yeah.
Nothing's really her
thing. Yeah.
But I mean, I thought Dr. Andrews had a good chance of beating Lindsey Graham, but she's got to be the worst candidate I've ever seen.
It's bad, and it's kind of an indication of the Republican Party. It's a microcosm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So after she flubbed that question on China and Taiwan and couldn't give any answer, not just a convincing answer, she couldn't give any answer. She knows nothing about it. She then tried to pivot to culture war issues on Fox News and talk about trans people, the people of South Carolina care about trans people in sports, trying to use the culture wars as a tool. At the end of the day, America's not a feudal monarchy where we vote just based on your last name or based on your endorsement from Trump.
Yeah.
We are a democracy, and I think we should have the most merit-based candidates rising to the top. She is not that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately or unfortunately, I don't know.
I mean, and all they've got is just name calling, and Trump's going, I'm going to Texas to help Ken Paxton, and he's running against Tallarico.
Oh my God.
They say that because he's kind of freaky. I'm like,
that's it?
His nicknames are getting worse,
yeah,
honestly. Like, he's losing his juice.
God, I mean, it's like every day is an SNL skit if it weren't so serious. Him in the Oval Office with the Lake Ontario and the Sharpie. You're just like, I can't.
Can I tell you what bothers me the most about all of it?
Yeah.
I think it's the double standards that we see in the media and with right-wingers. So, for example, I was like 13 years old when those Access Hollywood tapes came out and Trump said you can grab women because they let you do it. And then I was 23 years old when he was yelling Quiet Piggy on Air Force One. Yeah. Through that decade, I watched him do all of these disgusting things. Then John Ossoff in Georgia makes an innocuous comment. He was like, quote, Trump likes to travel with Natalie and build his ballroom, end quote. And every single Republican was like crying, vomiting all over themselves. Yeah, huge snowflakes. They were freaking out. The double standard that exists where Trump can make fun of Rob Reiner, make fun of Rob Mueller right after they die, say anything to women reporters, and then the moment a Democrat does anything, looks the wrong way, the Republican Party freaks out. Do you know how many times they've tried to pin me down on John Ossoff's comments? And I'm like, I'm not going to be lectured by Republicans about the treatment of women in politics.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
Yeah. Well, your mentor, Mike Nellis, that's what I love. He does, he's like the older version of you.
Yeah. He's great.
But it's just when they say, oh, what about Grant Plattner? He's like, I'm happy to talk about that. What about, what's his name?
Max Miller.
Yeah. And Mike is one, I think, that got that into the national conversation. Because you're right. The hypocrisy is just stunning. The double standards, as you say. So let's talk about you. This is so exciting. 23 years old, the Adam Mockler Show, a wildly popular YouTube show.
Yep.
But I just thought...
You show up on my YouTube shorts all the time.
That's great. That means my editors are doing their job.
Yes.
I think part of the manosphere douche bros that got Trump back in office just like made me lose the will to live. And then I saw you. I'm like, oh, there is hope. There's hope for the youngins.
We will win young men back. Yes. Young people back overall.
Yeah. Yeah. So your dad was Muslim American of Syrian descent. Your mom, Christian. I love at the time of your birth, your mother and father were 15 and 16 years old.
Exactly.
Your mom's a psychologist.
Yeah. They had me very, very young, and it's been very formative for me growing up alongside my mom and dad.
Yeah.
Uniquely my mom, because she now has her PhD in something called IO psychology, industrial organizational psychology. Wow. And she wrote her dissertation on women and leadership and how it's an uphill battle for a lot of women in these roles. So as I was growing up, I was hearing about her fundamental experiences of just like random sort of microaggressions in the workplace. She tells me stories of being passed over for a work trip and they said she can't go, she has kids. But then they chose a guy who also had kids, and they kind of just assumed that my mom didn't want to go, despite her being more equipped, having more time, being more ready. And she got advice multiple times, like, don't say that you have kids in job interviews, do this, do that. There's all these barriers that are introduced for women in work, politics, leadership roles. My mom has really formed my views on that. On the other side, my dad is
no wonder she raised such an awesome son.
Thank you. That means a lot. And my dad's Muslim. He was born in America, but you know, his dad was born in Syria. So I would go to the mosque every Friday for Friday prayer. Mm-hmm. That also gave me a sort of diverse point of view. I think like flexibility in the way I see things. Hearing my mom's side of the family with one take, and then my dad's with another. It gave me more than a rigid view of the world.
Yeah. Yep. So what's growing up with a psychologist like? It's just, you pass the gravy. Are you having mommy issues, Adam?
No.
Is that why you want the gravy?
She's great. But the thing is, it's always like analyzing my stuff. So I remember I was a little bit heartbroken after this girl and I in high school. I was like 16 years old. You know, we got in a fight and we were breaking up.
Whoever would break up with you, I'm totally on your side.
Thank you.
Bitch.
Yeah. Well, hey, who knows? In high school, I was probably a little bit of a I don't know. I was rough. But in high school, I remember I got home. My mom was immediately like, what's wrong? I can read it in your face. Oh, it's her. And she put it together right away.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, maybe that's just mother instincts. But at the same time, she's always analyzing stuff. Yeah. On the other hand, it's perhaps the best edge that I have in my toolbox right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm building a team around me. I want to become a good leader, either in politics or in media or somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
And I think having someone who can refine me, tell me how to give feedback, tell me how to build my team is very, very important.
Yeah.
You realize we're sitting with the next, with a future president, right? We're never going to have access to him again.
Who, me or him?
No, God, no. I have way too many skeletons in this closet.
Have you heard of someone named Dolly Parton?
Of course.
Okay. No, but I just, you know, in hearing you talk, I just thought you were talking about, you know, a Muslim dad and a Christian mom. And that's why I think the world is in mourning over Dolly Parton, because she was for everybody.
Yeah.
Us gay people, straight people, black people, white people. And I think we're so desperately in need of that kind of like love and light. It's like literally she's the polar opposite of Trump and
it
MAGA.
Was pretty crazy how much her.
But, I'm sorry. I was just going to say real quick, you reminded me because your mom. We talked about 9 to 5 being such a feminist anthem, really, way before its time.
But. Yeah. I mean, when Dolly Parton passed, it really showed me how much generational sway she had.
Yeah.
It's been, I don't think I've ever seen a celebrity die, and basically every generation in my family, including my friends, all had uniquely, you know, sad reactions. Mm-hmm. I mean, my friends who were 22, 23 years old also were impacted. So that's really powerful.
Isn't that something? I can't stop reading. I can't stop watching stuff. And I can't. It's just 2022. Dolly Parton donates $1 million to fund pediatric infectious disease research. 2025. Donald Trump cuts $12 million in grants for pediatric medical research. Just the absolute polar opposite. Someone else posted, one of my favorite things about Dolly Parton is she recognized that structural problems require structural solutions. There's an education crisis and poor kids aren't reading. Let's not just get them excited about reading. Let's put books in their hands during the most important years of their development. Social change requires joy and optimism, but also actionable solutions, and she embodied that.
You know what? There's all these Christians in our country who are in power, and they declare themselves Christians, but they're Republicans who want to take away school lunches, take away books. It's interesting hearing the framework of someone who actually cares and actually understands that you know, change can be driven by being generous.
And right. That is the biggest challenge right now, Adam, is to keep our joy and optimism like Dolly did, because you're right that despair is going to get us nowhere. So I got to tell you, it's been a horrible, just a lot of us have stuff going on personally, but losing Dolly Parton, it's just, it's been I'm so excited. Thank you so much. This is really like giving me hope and all of the love for Dolly. That's what we need. We need like joy and optimism and to feel, because they want us to get all this mail-in voting stuff. They want us to feel despair and depressed and like, you know, our vote's not going to matter. They're not, it's going to be rigged, et cetera. Right?
I read somewhere that both Donald Trump and the DSA on the left posted a statement honoring Dolly Parton. So everyone across the political spectrum united for one moment. But yeah, part of the idea of fascism is wearing you down and getting you to a point where you don't even want to push back, or you're just tired, or the zone has been flooded so much so that you don't know which part to grab onto. Yeah. Right now we see that. There's 100 different things going on, as Jennifer Welch pointed out, and we have to stay laser focused.
And can I say I'm so sorry to your generation? Like, this is all you've known. Like, this kind of chaos and hate and divisiveness. And we were talking about this. Someone posted, one person born into extreme poverty spends her entire 80 years giving to others and making the world a better, kinder, more compassionate place. Another person born into extreme wealth spends his entire 80 years taking from others and making the world a sicker, more sadistic, more dangerous place. I mean, it should be our mission, is let's make this Dolly Parton's America again.
Very true. An America based on caring, giving back, lifting up every member of your community. I mean, I think Obama had a quote in 2004 at the DNC, and he was basically saying, if there's somebody sick in my community, even if I don't know them and they're not a part of my family, it is still on us to take care of them. If there is somebody struggling in our community, we are all stronger as an America if everybody is better. And I think Dolly Parton saw that. Donald Trump has such a myopic, reductive view of the world. He thinks everything is stronger when he's stronger, when the people around him are more rich and more corrupt. That's not how it works. We all need to lift everybody up.
Yeah. Oh, and that's exactly what her whole life was about. I just love, I can't get enough of this. And I think we're so desperate for like light and love instead of hate and divisiveness. And the fact that this is your entire life, like that's the main message I want to get to people your age, is this is not normal. None of this is normal. This is not how politics is supposed to work.
Right.
But in honor of Dolly Parton, Lyft has changed the images of all their cars to guitars and butterflies.
That's very sweet.
I mean, you're right. In terms of just all over the world, I love this one. Every single radio station in the state of Tennessee, from rock, rap, country, talk, everything in between, all stopped this morning and simultaneously played Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, but it makes you, it's just, it's what she did.
The type of unity that we need.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's also something that we haven't had for like well over 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, this one, her library, funding cancer research, the Moderna vaccine, funding an AIDS documentary when Reagan and many others were afraid to even say the word AIDS, using her royalties from Whitney Houston's version of I Will Always Love You to help a black community in Nashville, supporting the LGBTQ+ community. The list goes on and on and on. Dolly Parton didn't need to say what or whose side she was on. She showed what and whose side she was on.
She was on the side of people, of human dignity, of making sure that every human is valued based on their humanity.
And by the way, I just, as much as I like loved her and thought I knew, there's things I did not even know. In 1980, Dolly Parton released the song Deportee, written by Woody Guthrie after a 1948 plane crash that killed 28 Mexican farm workers. The song calls out how the media only named the four white crew members while dismissing the workers as just nameless deportees.
This is very progressive for the
Dolly. Yeah, Dolly didn't care about the era's Reagan political rhetoric as she sang to say all their names, honor their dignity, and show her heart truly has no borders. I mean, dear God.
And she didn't have to announce what party she was a member of. She just
lived it.
Showed it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, exactly. So that's, I mean, we had John Pavlovitz on yesterday, who we love. And Pastor John wrote just a great piece. Like, sorry, MAGA. No, she wasn't one of you. You know,
To like take a step back, something that's really important is leadership, representation, and modeling, role modeling for younger Americans. And when throughout my formative years, the biggest role model I saw, not intentionally, but just due to the way politics works, is the president constantly out there demeaning people, making fun of people. I think we need to return to an America where the role models who are leading the way are more like Dolly Parton and are instilling these views of human dignity, of respecting other people. Trump in particular has drug us down to such depths that he will make fun of somebody hours after they die, yeah. and the Republican Party will close their eyes and blind themselves and act like it doesn't even matter. I mean, it's really despicable.
Yeah.
Well, we had that with Obama.
Yeah.
But you probably weren't old enough to recognize that.
I remember a little bit of it, yeah. but it wasn't during my formative years like Trump was. Like when I was like 13 to 17, like my like a lot of formative years where I'm really building my worldview, Trump was the president.
Yeah.
I love that when he was little, though, all presidents are black.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's presidents.
Then they're like, wait, they can be orange, too.
Just a couple more talking about her being the anti-Trump. One time the state of Tennessee wanted to put a statue of Dolly Parton at the state capitol. Dolly's response to the idea was absolutely perfect. I'll let her tell you herself. That's just this beautiful letter just saying, I mean, the absolute opposite of Trump. She mm-hmm. just said no thank you and, you know, like...
Yeah.
I mean, the humility she had. Yeah. And I just thought this one we've talked about, but the same day Dolly Parton died, a federal judge cited her name while striking down Texas's ban on drag. For decades, she said the quiet part out loud when almost nobody in the country music world would. Marriage equality in 2009, trans rights on the record in 2023, a bejeweled guitar mailed to a Texas drag queen fighting the exact law a judge just struck down in her name. Rest well, Dolly. The community you loved out loud is still being protected. Partly because you never stop saying so.
Yeah.
But as you say too, boy, cross generations, not just racial yeah. lines, but yeah. you know, generations and I mean, just an inspiration to women, to musicians, to, you know, it just goes on and on. But dear God. All right. So let's talk about here. We just had Hallie Schaffner on, who's mm-hmm. running in against Tom Cotton.
Yeah. yeah.
I really feel like all
and
things.
She's within
are,
3 points.
Yeah.
Of him.
She's
Which
a young, crazy. A young, amazing woman who's ditched lifelong farmer, comes from, you know, farming family, mm-hmm. one of the many who lost their farms because of Donald Trump. Trump is now underwater in Arkansas, and the impact on the Senate race could be enormous. A Democrat is suddenly putting Tom Cotton in real danger. The last poll, she was ahead. I mean, Gina, her last name is...
Hinojosa?
Yeah, looks yeah. like she has a real shot against Abbott in Texas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean... Yeah, go ahead.
I really think that Donald Trump betraying the American people on every single thing he promised mm-hmm. is going to manifest in the midterms. Yeah. The House seems to be going in our direction towards the Democrats. That seems yeah. to be, you know, rather, that's a good direction. Despite Donald Trump trying to rig it via redistricting multiple yeah. states, the Senate is still a coin flip, unfortunately. But I do think that there is a viable path for us to win both the House and the Senate, and then use that to put a check on this presidency, to stop the Iran war, to stop the corruption, have oversight into all of the corruption that we've seen in the first 2 years, yeah. investigate the ICE killers of yeah. Rene Good yeah. and Alex Preddy. I think that it's really, really important that we do win it back. And Trump has betrayed people on everything.
Yeah.
What do you say? Lower prices on day
92%
one?
92% of cattle ranchers voted for him.
It's wild. And now he is directly undercutting them in yeah. multiple ways.
Yeah.
He said lower prices on day one. We have higher prices. Mm-hmm. He said no new wars. We now have a new war that's causing higher prices. He said he's going to end inflation. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Even his immigration promises have basically been distorted and perverted so much so that he just directed ICE into a bunch of blue cities. People aren't happy at all.
Yeah. So, this is all we can try to do is, you know, inspire people, lift them up like you do, yeah. like Mark Elias does for me.
Yeah.
So he posted, if you were to list the top 1,000 real problems in the U.S., voter fraud wouldn't even be one of them.
Yeah.
It's not even in the top 10,000. Donald Trump made this up in order to make it harder for Democrats to vote and easier for Republicans to cheat. Boy, am I glad he's in the game. Fighting
he's great. He's
all,
great.
You know, because it just, I think, Adam, we don't even know the 16 other things they're going to try.
Yeah, so
right?
the Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing think tank
yes.
that created Project 2025, they did a study into non-citizens voting, and they found that since the year 2000, only 99 non-citizens have voted across the United
yeah.
States. That's
yeah.
about 4 per year. It is a problem that is just not real. It is not changing the results of elections. Obviously, we should minimize it as much as possible. We want secure elections. But then you have to apply a balancing test when you're looking at Trump's laws. The balancing test is this. How many voters are we disenfranchising
yeah.
versus how many people are we stopping from voting illegally? I'm sorry, but if you're disenfranchising 1 million voters to stop 4 non-citizens from voting, that does not pass any test whatsoever. Trump is trying to surgically disenfranchise Democrats because he knows he's going to lose.
Yeah. I don't mean to yell out another Gen Z man's name while I'm with you, but Santiago Mayer.
Yeah.
A friend said, to your point earlier, he said, I think a lot of people need to remember the ideological fights are waged out in the primaries. The general is to beat the fascists. Period.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He's correct.
Yeah, I mean, Chris can tell you, our saying is, if you believe anything anyone says, or if you agree with everything anyone says, you're an idiot.
Right.
And so, again, yeah. I agree with Mike about, El Sayed shouldn't have to be responsible for everything Hassan Piker's ever said. And like, I get blamed. We have a guest on. I can't obviously control what you or anyone else says, and then I get blamed. Like, wait a minute. You know, this is what free speech in America is. You're not going to agree with everybody on every issue.
Hassan Piker and I have chatted before, and I would tell him directly that I disagree with him on some things, and that's still a healthy movement.
Absolutely.
It's still a healthy disagreement, and we can wage those battles. You can disagree with people to your left, to your right, and hold your own positions. Abdul El-Sayed getting tied to Hassan Piker is clearly just a Republican strategy to delegitimize him.
Yeah. So we just were talking about the cattle ranchers. The U.S. gave Argentina $40 billion, and as a thank you, they're selling us disease beef. Mm-hmm. Art of the deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Adam, I feel like if anyone, you guys, your generation is going to figure out how to take back these issues in terms of like that people don't vote against their own self-interest.
Yeah.
Republicans wreck the economy and get us into unnecessary wars every time, and Democrats fix it. But we just keep doing this same cycle, and then people get bored and some stupid culture war issue comes up and they do it again, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, on the topic of the beef, it's kind of funny because Trump keeps making these big, bold policy announcements, and almost every single time, it's just reversing a policy that he put into place a year ago. So right now, he is trying to artificially lower the price of beef coming into the country.
Yes.
That's like a reverse tariff. A tariff is artificially boosting the price of something so it's less competitive on the market. And he tariffed all of these goods so much that it caused inflation. It hurt consumers. Mm-hmm. People are struggling. And then he has this big, bold new idea. And it's just reversing his original idea.
Right.
It's like when he brags that oil prices are down.
Fixed it.
And it's like, well, oil prices are down from the peak that you created. He keeps doing this thing where he's just reversing his own policy.
And I think the other good news, Adam, is that blame Biden is not working.
No.
If you're looking at any poll.
At this point.
I mean, Matt McNeil said, Trump desperately trying to stop gas prices from hitting record highs will drain our entire oil reserve and then immediately blame President Biden for it. Then 60% of Republican politicians will run to news outlets and insist this outrageous lie is a fact.
Trump could get the wrong order at McDonald's and blame it on Biden somehow. It's like 2.5 years into his, or like 2 years into his term, and he's still blaming Joe Biden.
But your buddy Mike Nellis said Trump brought tainted beef into the country that athletes were explicitly told not to eat during the last Olympics because it could taint their drug tests.
Yep.
That beef is now being recalled. What a stupid administration. I mean, it is the stupidest timeline in history. It's ending this cycle with Trump in the Oval Office with a Sharpie again.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Darlene Grahamification of the country on a national scale. So the Republicans are like, we don't really care about intellect or deep policy knowledge. We prioritize loyalty.
Yeah.
We prioritize last name recognition and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, we love playing Trump voters. What was it yesterday? Do you have one message for Donald Trump? And the guy said, yeah, you. Oh. Here's one.
He promised no new foreign wars. We're almost 6 months into the...
We got war. We got Iran war, whatever's going on over there.
How do you feel about that war?
I think we need to bring the troops home and just be done with it. Let them do whatever they want to do and just be done with it. Or blow them up, whatever.
We'd
be done.
If you could give a grade to the economy, A through F. Is it an A? Is it a B? Is it a C? Is it an F?
D-.
D-.
Yeah. Don't ask me why. just because, like you said, everything's expensive. Gas is expensive. I got put gas in this morning to come here. It was $4.50 a gallon versus $2-3. You know, it's $2 something, I think, before all this.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Trump's like, I give myself an A+ on the economy.
Oh, he ranked himself this morning as the greatest president in history.
And that's what they're running on is Trump. I mean, that's what he's decided is he's going to put his record out there. I'm like, yay.
He said A++++++. It's a perfect economy. He says inflation's lowered. He's so insulated from this. And he's ranking himself as the best president. Mm-hmm. It's like if I'm like, to my girlfriend, I'm like, I think I'm the number one boyfriend in the world, actually. It's like, by what indicator? I think it's just my instinct, you know?
That is to her, will you be my Natalie Harp? Get in the trunk. We have to go.
I jokingly said that, and she didn't like it. She's like, never say that to me again.
Wise woman.
Yeah. It was a joke.
I'm like, pass on the tread, wife.
Okay. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.